broadcasting worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Live from the heart of the nation's capital, this is Morning Glory.
It's Friday, November 10th, the Veterans Day holiday, so the federal government closed for this holiday. Veterans Day is actually tomorrow. We give glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father.
Amen. Amen.
We thank God for Friday and for all of our veterans who have served and are serving our nation. Good morning. Welcome to Morning Glory. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Elisa Murphy is our producer at Guadalupe Studios here in Washington, D.C. And from the Dominican House of Studies, we have Father Thomas Petrie as our godly counsel to lead us in prayer.
O God, who never allow the gates of hell to prevail against your church, firmly founded on the apostolic rock, grant her, we pray, that through the intercession of Pope St. Leo, she may stand firm in your truth and know the protection of lasting peace. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
St. Leo the Great, Pope and Doctor of the Church, remembered on this 10th of November. And we always remember our dear Mother Angelica, Gloria.
The gift of understanding raises me a step higher and lets me enter into the very mystery of God. I begin to see ever so dimly how he lives in me, and I live in him, and this affects my interior life with God.
We thank God for the beautiful guidance of our foundress, Mother Angelica. 2 minutes after, and President Trump marks Veterans Day in Vietnam with a group of seven Americans who fought in the war there. He's in Da Nang for this week's Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit. He renewed his administration's commitment to improve veteran services.
One of the things, again, that I'm so happy with is what we're doing with the whole Veterans Administration. It is a whole different ballgame.
The president says of the men and women who have served in our armed forces and continue to serve, they're brave, they're strong, they're great patriots, and we just want to thank you. Ground is broken Thursday in Washington for the U.S. World War I Memorial commemorating the war's centennial. Army Chief of Staff General Mark Milley says there's much more to be learned from the war that was to end all wars.
There's lessons of politics and government and economics. But if there's one lesson most of all to learn, it's the lesson to vow never to let it happen again.
Nearly 117,000 American soldiers died in the First World War, which left more than 200,000 wounded. And an important point that Gloria brought up, the difference between Veterans Day and Memorial Day.
Memorial Day is to remember the people in the armed services who died. So that's what we do during Memorial Day. But today is all veterans.
Both living and deceased.
Living and that's deceased. Right. That's right.
We remember all those who served the cause of freedom. A December 1st deadline for moving the U.S. Embassy to Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem is rapidly approaching. If President Trump fails to announce a move by that date, action will be delayed at least another 6 months. Florida Representative Ron DeSantis says it's time to make the move.
To this day, 50 years after the liberation and reunification of Jerusalem, the State of Israel, one of America's strongest allies, is the only nation in the world in which the American government refuses to locate its embassy in the host nation's chosen capital.
Critics believe a move to Jerusalem would hurt the fragile peace process between Israelis and Palestinians. Kellyanne Conway, advisor to the president, tells EWTN News Nightly's White House correspondent Mark Irons about President Trump's dedication to the pro-life cause.
People are saying he's the most pro-life president in modern history. He put Neil Gorsuch on the United States Supreme Court. He's nominating pro-life men and women up and down the federal bench. He has a vice president who has a very solid pro-life record in elective office as Congress and in the governorship of Indiana. Day two or three of his presidency, reinstated Mexico City policy and then directed Secretary of State Rex Tillerson to go beyond that. It's been very heartening to many pro-lifers to see that this is a president who's made good on his commitment to the pro-life cause.
Kellyanne Conway, one-on-one with EWTN News Nightly's Mark Irons. The pastor of the First Baptist Church in Texas, where more than two dozen people died in a mass shooting, reportedly wants the building demolished. Mm. Pastor Frank Pomeroy, who lost his 14-year-old daughter in that shooting, reportedly told the Southern Baptist Convention he'd like to replace the building with a memorial garden and build a new worship center elsewhere on the church property. Brandy Johnson, who says that church operated a food bank that she relied on, says it would be a shame to destroy the church building.
We have some fine churches in this neighborhood. This is one of the oldest ones with some of the oldest families, and it's well-loved.
No final decision can be made without the approval of church members. That's quite a dilemma for that congregation.
Well, you know, I was thinking of other places that had some mass shootings. I was thinking of Mother Emanuel in Charleston, which they kept. And then I was also thinking of when the Amish had somebody come on their property, but they killed a lot of the kids in the school. They did demolish the school.
Well, do you know, in Catholicism, I think we have a better way to handle this when someone does something like that. It's really a desecration of the sacred space. And so we would have the bishop come in and sort of reconsecrate, you know, maybe a sort of like an exorcism of the place, because there's real evil in such places when that happens.
Yeah, and that's a witness to life.
Absolutely.
That life continues in the face of darkness and death. The first of the funeral services for the shooting victims will be held Sunday for Sarah and Dennis Johnson. They were married 44 years with six children. Also Sunday, 16-year-old Haley Krueger will be laid to rest. Next Wednesday, services will be held for Joanne Ward, who died trying to shield her children from the gunfire. Her daughters, Emily and Brooke, will be buried the same day. How sad.
So sad.
Yeah. Five police officers who confronted the shooter at a congressional baseball practice in June in Alexandria, Virginia, are honored in Washington. House Majority Whip Steve Scalise, who also was wounded in the attack, says many lives were saved by the officers.
These five brave men and women prevented what would have been a mass execution.
The Capitol Police Medal of Honor, the department's highest award, was given to Special Agents David Bailey and Crystal Greiner, who were injured and still confronted the gunman. Three Alexandria police officers were given merit awards at Thursday's D.C. ceremony. Pope Francis halts the sale of cigarettes in the Vatican City State's duty-free luxury store. The Vatican says the Holy See cannot contribute to an activity that clearly damages the health of people. It cites World Health Organization statistics of deaths due to smoking at 7 million a year worldwide. Father Francis does not smoke, but he suffers from lung disease, and the Vatican will lose about $11 million that it would have gained through the sale of those tax-free
cigarettes. Yeah, I think a lot of people don't know this, but there is actually a little Vatican store within the Vatican City State that those who live and work can purchase things from. And, you know, Italians, smoking is a big thing in Italy still today, so it's going to be a...
People are fuming about it.
But you know what? I loved what the Pope said. I mean, that they can't contribute to anything that's damaging. Notre Dame, are you listening?
Yes.
Do not give out, you know, sterilization and abortifacients because of plurality of belief. It's damaging to people. Don't do it.
And New York City closes a city-operated preschool in Harlem where a boy died after eating a grilled cheese sandwich. Relatives claim school officials knew 3-year-old Elijah Rivera had a severe allergy to dairy products. The boy's mother reportedly rushed him to a hospital after the preschool staff called her instead of calling 911. Deputy Commissioner Loyola Vargas of the city's Administration for Children's Services there says they're investigating.
We do believe that this is an isolated incident. But there is an active investigation, and we hope to learn more.
The Department of Health in the city has jurisdiction over that preschool or pre-K preschool. First Lady Melania Trump had a great panda adventure at the Beijing Zoo. She spent some time feeding Gugu, the giant panda, and learned about his nutrition and training while at the zoo. And she signed a poster of the panda as well. In sports, just ahead of the forecast from Elisa Murphy, the Cleveland Cavaliers' woes continue. James Harden had a triple-double of 35 points, 11 rebounds, and 13 assists, helping the Houston Rockets beat Cleveland 117-113. Cleveland has lost six of their last eight games. And De'Aaron Fox drains a game-winning shot with a 14-second left to give the Kings a 109-108 win over the 76ers.
Ball is handed to Temple. Surveying the floor, a couple of fakes. Got to get rid of it, and he does to De'Aaron Fox. Kings went quickly the last time. Here's Fox creeping forward. He pulls up, 18-footer. De'Aaron Fox puts the Kings on top, 109-108.
That was the final, and Sacramento win ends Philadelphia's longest winning streak. At 10 after now, here's Elisa with your Friday forecast.
Morning glory weather.
Chilly temps across the mid-Atlantic as we head into the weekend. Here in our nation's capital, partly cloudy skies at a high of 44. For those tuned to the Guadalupe Radio Network this morning, for our listeners on Queen of Heaven and Earth Radio in Fairbanks, Alaska, expect temps nearing a high of 15 with possible flurries. And for those listening in Madisonville, Kentucky, so many missing our beloved Father Thomas Petrie. A cold one climbing to 45 with sun if you're tuned to Pope John Paul the Great Radio.
Well, Gloria, we've been missing Father Petrie. He was at a recent conference of Catholic educators and encountered his second grade teacher.
That's right. Oh. I was actually near my hometown of Madisonville. I didn't get to see it while I was home, but the Mid-South Catholic Leadership Conference was this past weekend, and it was for Catholic educators, DREs, high school educators, administrators, K through 12 educators and administrators for six southern dioceses, just talking about, you know, what we can do to help preserve the faith in our children better. So my second grade teacher was there, Sister Roseanne Spalding. She's from the Order of St. Ursula. She's an Ursuline sister, and it was really great. She sat right there in the second row so I could see her the whole time. And,
she's proud of you, Father.
I'm sure she is very much so. She was.
I know my second grade teacher would not have been proud.
She was beaming the entire time I taught him that.
She said, oh, no, there's that kid.
It was really just a great thing. You know, we spoke a little bit, and it was, I think, a revelation to some because, you know, it's out there in the rural South. But that 36%, that Pew Research Forum poll from 2014, that 36% of 18 to 29-year-olds do not claim to have any religious faith, you know.
And the nuns, they call
them. Yeah, the nuns. And 78% of them, of those, say they were raised in a religious household. So we're losing them after they get out of the home. So trying to figure out how to prevent that or work against that.
And let's hope some come back, because many young people reject their faith.
They do.
But reverts like us return.
That's right. Thanks
yeah, and I'm
God.
Just thinking about those years they're walking in the wilderness, boy, can do a lot of
tough.
Damage. So
wishing
it could just stay.
I think the only thing you can hope for during those times is just remember you had the child baptized. You know, God is true to the promises he makes in the sacrament of baptism.
And ask for St. Monica's help.
Absolutely.
Ask for St. Monica. Ask for St. Monica's help. I know Brian was like, this is just like nutsy, but I found it fascinating that there's a high-end store out there that has this, they've decided to go out marketing-wise and have this collection of things called everyday objects, but the everyday objects that they're selling are like crazy expensive. So they have one called a tin can. They say, come get our everyday objects tin can. It costs $1,000.
Okay, let's just be clear, though, that it's made out of
sterling silver and vermeil.
I don't even know what vermeil is.
It looks like, see that goldy, gold-looking stuff?
Like
it looks
oatmeal.
Like gold.
Oh, okay.
It looks like gold. It looks like gold, vermeil, oatmeal. You're silly. And then
it's made out of vermin.
It has this pretty little blue. I mean, but it looks like it looks like a tin cup.
Yeah.
But it's just sterling silver. Then they have a crazy straw. You know those straws with the little wiggles like in it, made out of sterling silver.
Oh.
That
was
made of sterling silver.
This is Tiffany's, right?
Tiffany and Company is doing it.
And I see their paper plate is a sterling silver paper plate engraved with
it's
a picture of a grilled
plate.
Cheese
if it's
sandwich.
Sterling silver, it's not
but that's
paper.
How they call it. They say it's sterling
well,
silver.
I think
they
all
say
this
paper
shows
plate
that,
sterling
that
silver.
Some people have just too much money, and they need to be giving some of this money to the poor.
Exactly.
This is where you know when Pope Francis criticizes capitalism, you know, and he criticizes unchecked capitalism, and that's a very clear distinction. This is what he's talking about. I think this sort of wastefulness of money on objects that aren't helpful to human beings and doesn't help the human person flourish. You know, if I'm buying $1,000 sterling silver piece of
supposed to look like a tin
utensil
can.
That's supposed to look like a soup can. It's a strange use of $1,000.
I say just give me the tin can with the cash in it, and then we can do something with that.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're coming up on quarter after the hour, and we have a special guest today, the youngest granddaughter of Dorothy Day, the foundress of the Catholic Worker Movement. I have a personal connection with that. I was raised by parents who were part of that movement, and Dorothy Day's youngest granddaughter, Kate Hennessy, who wrote a book about her grandmother, Dorothy Day, The World Will Be Saved by Beauty, joins us next on Morning Glory on your Friday.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
For a complete list of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network AM and FM stations across America, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. The list is updated regularly, so visit often. Again, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. Also at EWTN.com, you'll find out how to listen to us on the web, on shortwave, and in some countries on satellite. You'll find it all on EWTN.com.
Debbie Giorgiani.
I'm a cradle Catholic, went to Catholic school, and I never really wandered from the faith. In fact, after having a taste of working in corporate America, I was literally pulled toward a more meaningful work. I began serving in ministry when I was just 21 years old, and I've never looked back since. I was not fulfilled working in a job where I couldn't talk about Jesus. I am most complete when the topic of conversation is God.
Take two with Jerry and Debbie, Monday through Saturday, noon Eastern on EWTN Radio.
CNA is the only fast, reliable, and free Catholic news source that brings blogs, stories, and opinions to your fingertips. The latest Catholic news is at CatholicNewsAgency.com, an online service from EWTN News.
Hello, this is Bishop Ronald Gaynor of the Diocese of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
This is Michael Warsaw, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of EWTN.
This is Father Mitch Pacwa. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
At Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
We're grateful that you're waking up with us on this Friday morning. It's Morning Glory from EWTN Radio for the Veterans Day holiday, the 10th of November, a Friday. I'm Brian Patrick along with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
We originate from Guadalupe Studios in Washington, D.C., where our producer is Elisa Murphy. We're blessed to have Father Thomas Petrie, Dominican, as our godly counsel today. And our guest this morning is the youngest granddaughter of Dorothy Day, who founded the Catholic Worker Movement with Peter Morin. Kate Hennessy, the author of Dorothy Day, The World Will Be Saved by Beauty. Kate, it's so good to talk with you this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
Your grandmother is being considered for sainthood, and when I told my mom, who knew your grandmother, in fact, spent quite a few of her younger years with her on Mary Farm in eastern Pennsylvania, I told my mom that my mom was Eva Smith. You wrote about her in your book. And I said, you know, Dorothy Day is being considered for sainthood. Mom responded, Dorothy Day was no saint. So my mom was not a saint either, but certainly a saintly woman, and I know Dorothy Day was as well. But she was rough around the edges. What do you think she and her character says about sainthood in our Catholic tradition?
Well, I think what the wonderful thing about this is that she was so human. She was who she mm-hmm. was. Yes, she could be very, very harsh and judgmental, but she had this amazing strength and courage and direction and message for us of, you know, how we need to care for each other. And she never wavered from that, really firmly based in the works of mercy. And this was never a doubt in her mind that this was what she needed to be doing.
And I got that from her example. But as I read your book, I learned a lot about Dorothy Day and how she suffered a lot of tribulation and trial. Was she ever happy and satisfied with the work she was doing, or was it always a struggle for her?
Well, she had that's an interesting question. She had a wonderful sense of humor, and she was just so full of joy and delight. She would come into a room and just, you know, light it up with her laughter. But the work was very, very hard, and she certainly felt that she felt a great deal of failure in that work, that it just seemed to just go on and on and on, and nothing ever changed. But she also said that, you know, we have to expect failure in this kind of work, and that you know, it's not for us to see the changes. That this is just like she used to use the metaphor of throwing a pebble into a pond and seeing the ripples flow out.
Kate, this is Father Thomas Petrie. It's really a privilege to speak to you, the youngest grandchild of Dorothy Day. About 13 years ago, I wrote a very large thesis for one of my graduate degrees in theology, for which Dorothy Day was the inspiration, although I never cite her. But it's this idea that we have of Dorothy Day, or the fact that Dorothy Day, certainly after her conversion, was never really a picketer or a protester. Like, she spent most of her time in adoration to pray for the unjust the injustices that she saw in the world. And I just think that's a real good counterexample of that we need both. We need those who are actively out there fighting, but we need those who are also, they know where the source of justice is, and that justice is ultimately founded on the devotion and adoration of Jesus Christ.
Well, she did, you know, last time she was arrested was when she was 75, and that was on the picket line with Cesar Chavez in 1973. So, I mean, she did remain on the picket line, not as much. Certainly in the 50s, she was much more involved, and as she got older and more limited, yes, she, you know, she spent probably a good 3 hours a day in prayer.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I think that's just an example for all of us.
Well, Kate, this is Gloria. I first learned about your grandmother when I saw the movie Entertaining Angels, the Dorothy Day story. It was starring Moira Kelly, and yes. Martin Sheen was in it. And I just remember thinking, wow, this lady is tough. You know, how she dealt with the poor. She dealt with some, I just thought, incredible heartache. And then I'm reading here in the book, in your book, it says that she was a rigorous challenger of the church. Could you give some light on that? Because I don't think she, when people hear challenger of the church, sometimes they think dissenter. And your grandmother was not a dissenter. So what do you mean by rigorous challenger of the church here?
Well, she, you know, she wasn't above of chastising people for their wealth. She really was a great believer in giving away your goods and joining the work of the poor. So I think it was very hard for her to see the church's wealth. She really believed that, you know, there's a very famous saying that people said of her, that she comforted the afflicted and she afflicted the comfortable. Mm-hmm. So I think that was really what challenging the church, just to, you know, we can't be comfortable. We really have to be, you know, pushing ourselves if we are truly following what Jesus is teaching us.
Yeah, she challenged everyone, and she was joined by Peter Morin, a French philosopher who challenged folks in a very different way. But I wanted to mention to you that I grew up on Mary Farm in eastern Pennsylvania, which was where your mother, Tamar, spent a good deal of her young life. In fact, she lived in a little cabin there that Dorothy often visited. Just give us an image of those two in those early years.
My mother absolutely loved Mary Farm. She would go out there every free moment she had. She was, you know, she was born here in New York City, but she just was so drawn to the farm, the farming element. And that was Peter Morin's vision, you know, that the houses of hospitality was the hard work, but the vision, the hope, lie within the farms. And Mary Farm, to my mother when she was growing up, she just absolutely loved it. And yes, she had this tiny little cabin that was built by one of the men, one of the hermits on the farm, Mr. O'Connell. Just they would spend time together. You know, it was hard for them to get private time together living in that kind of community. So that little house was really quite a sanctuary for both of them.
Well, I'm fascinated with your book, and I just wanted to ask you before we let you go, what is the legacy that Dorothy Day leaves? What is the Catholic worker today?
Well, the Catholic worker is very vibrant. It's amazing. After 85 years, it's still a movement. It's still very much with us, still growing. There's 250 houses around the country. The paper that she started in 1933 is still being published, still being sold for a penny a copy. But I think, you know, her legacy, you know, I think about this often, and I think what she certainly gives me, I'll speak personally, is she gives me a great deal of hope and a great deal of courage. She said at her very last talk that she gave in 1976, her very last public talk, she said that the most important message is fear not. And I think that is certainly one that is good for us today.
And I love the subtitle of your book, The World Will Be Saved by Beauty. That was a strong belief of your grandmother.
Yes, I love that saying. And when I found out, when I read her diaries when they were published in 2008, and I read that she would wake up in the morning with that phrase, it just really struck me. I derive a great deal of hope from that sentence.
Well, Kate Hennessy, what a wonderful guest you've been, and we appreciate your book, Dorothy Day, The World Will Be Saved by Beauty, An Intimate Portrait of My Grandmother. Where can our listeners find a copy?
On Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your local bookstore.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. God bless you.
Thank you.
It's 25 after the hour, and Father Petrie is going to talk about St. Leo the Great right after we get a little Catholic chatter, some feedback from you through our producer, Elisa Murphy.
We've heard from Randy just moments ago. Happy to hear Kate Hennessy's voice on the airwaves talking about Dorothy Day, and he shares one of his favorite Dorothy Day quotes. Quote, "Food for the body is not enough. There must be food for the soul." And we've also heard from Lelon on the conversation of paper plates, gold paper plates from Tiffany's. And he says, don't confuse capitalism with consumerism.
That's good. Yeah, that's a good distinction. Point. Yeah.
All right. Leo the Great celebrated on this 10th of November, Father.
Yes, Leo the Great. I love this week in the liturgical year because we have the dedication of St. John Lateran yesterday, which is the feast honoring the Mother Church of Rome, the Pope's Cathedral. And then today we have the memorial of St. Leo the Great, one of the great popes in our church's history. Leo the Great was pope for about 20 years in the 5th century and just a very strong pope. In Leo the Great, we see what a pope really ought to be for the first time in a sort of universal church beyond sort of the regional churches that it had been until that point. Leo the Great, you know, turned back Attila the Hun from attacking Rome. He also turned back some other Vandals from attacking Rome. But what he's most known for is his role in settling Christological disputes that were happening during the 5th century on the nature of Jesus Christ, his person. Did he have one will? Did he have two wills? Did he have one soul, one mind, two minds? And it was at the Council of Chalcedon that Leo the Great sent what is now called the Tome of St. Leo, the Tome of Leo, just really laying out what the Orthodox belief in Jesus Christ is, two natures, one person, the natures are united without division, without separation, without confusion, or without change, so that God and man come together perfectly in Jesus Christ. And the Council Fathers were so convinced in what St. Leo had sent that one of them stood up and said, St. Peter has spoken through Leo. So this is the first time, really, Leo the Great, that we see the Pope have this sort of doctrinal authority over all the bishops. And so Leo shows us what a great pope ought to be, the one who is a guarantor of authority, the one who defends the faith of the little ones, and the one who can articulate what the church has always believed about Jesus Christ, that God and men can come together. And St. Leo says, and this is not foreign to the human race, but it is alien to sin.
Wow, what a great lesson this morning from Father Thomas Petrie. And Gloria, it's been 800 years since Franciscans have had custody of the Holy Land.
Yes, and I'm going to be talking with Father Francesco Patton. He's a custodian of the Holy Land on this 800th anniversary of a Franciscan presence. So stay tuned on Morning Glory.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
Colin Donovan.
Entering university, I had the religious understanding of someone catechized in the 1960s. That changed when a fellow freshman asked me if a Catholic could use the pill. My uninformed answer was, sure, why not? I then went and read Pope Paul VI's encyclical Humanae Vitae and concluded, this is truth. I've never looked back in my love of our Catholic faith since.
Open Line with Colin Donovan, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
60 on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The first commandment, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no strange gods before me. In this commandment, God seeks to protect us from false claims to our worship and obedience. And there's a great sad history of people who have trusted in gods other than him or things other than him and the ruin that it has caused. So God is trying to protect us and call us to an absolute trust and obedience of him. He asks us to trust him above all things and above all other people or so-called gods. We have to also avoid things like consulting horoscopes, palm reading, clairvoyance, recourse to mediums, any desire to try to control things apart from God. God simply says, trust me, I'm the Lord your God. I am the first commandment. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no strange gods before me.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
EWTN News Nightly with Lauren Ashburn.
As a journalist, I held people accountable. And that's what I want to do here. I want to hold government, politicians, leaders, moral leaders accountable for the actions that they take. And to do it in a way that gives our Catholic audience something new that they would not find anywhere else.
EWTN News Nightly with Lauren Ashburn. Weekdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from Capitol Hill, this is Morning Glory.
At half past the hour on Friday, the 10th of November, this is Morning Glory from Guadalupe Studios in Washington, D.C., where the federal government is closed today in observance of the Veterans Day holiday. We are grateful that you can join us today. I'm Brian Patrick, along with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Elisa Murphy, our producer, and our godly counsel, Father Thomas Petrie. Father, would you begin the half hour with prayer for us?
Sure. We pray for our veterans as we say, O God of peace, we pray for those who have served our nation and have laid down their lives to protect and defend our freedom. We pray for those who have fought, whose spirits and bodies are scarred by war, whose nights are haunted by memories too painful for the light of day. We pray for those who serve us now, especially for those in harm's way. Shield them from danger and bring them home. May the peace you left us, the peace you gave us, be the peace that sustains, the peace that saves us. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
A beautiful prayer for our veterans. And Gloria has her musing in a few minutes.
You know, after talking with Dorothy Day's granddaughter, Kate Hennessy, it reminded me of an encounter I had actually at the Catholic Worker House here in D.C. And boy, I don't think they're ready for what happened when I got there. So stay tuned on our my musing. We'll talk about that.
All right. Also, Gloria is going to talk with Father Francesco Patton with the Holy Land and the Franciscans as custodians there for 800 years now in just a minute. Dozens more people are arrested in Saudi Arabia in what the kingdom calls a crackdown on corruption. Saudi critics and some experts say the arrests are actually about Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman consolidating his power. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson spoke with the Saudi counterpart Tuesday. The State Department's Heather Nauert won't say if they discuss the arrests.
We continue to encourage the government of Saudi Arabia to pursue prosecution of corruption in a fair and transparent manner. That's something that we stress not only with Saudis, but with other governments as well.
House Republicans rush to get their tax bill to conference this week so that a reconciled measure can be passed by Thanksgiving. The final bill could eliminate the Obamacare individual mandate that forces young, healthy Americans to buy health insurance plans to subsidize health care for sicker, poorer, and older Americans. House Speaker Paul Ryan thinks the mandate needs to go.
I want to get rid of the individual mandate any way I can because I think the individual mandate is doing great damage to people in this country. We're making people buy something they can't afford and don't want.
Bishop Frank DeWayne of Venice, Florida, calls for the amendments to the current plan to the bill for the sake of families and for those struggling on the peripheries of society who have a claim on our national conscience. By the way, a recent amendment adopted yesterday restores the adoption tax credit. We'll see if that goes through.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Five police officers confronting the shooter at a congressional baseball practice in June are honored in Washington last night. House Majority Whip Steve Scalise, who was wounded in the attack, says many lives were saved by these brave officers.
These five brave men and women prevented what would have been a mass execution.
Scalise suffered serious injuries but is now pretty much recovered. Republicans nervous about losing a seat in the U.S. Senate call for Alabama Republican candidate Roy Moore to step down if allegations that he had sex with teenage girls prove to be true. The White House says if the allegations are true, then Roy Moore should, quote, do the right thing and step aside.
Go to jail. Sorry, Brian. Sorry.
Press Secretary Sarah Sanders tells reporters on Air Force One that the president believes an unproven allegation should not destroy a person's life.
I am so sorry. My gut, when I hear that a grown person is having sex with a teenager, my gut is they need to go to jail.
Right, we need to be clear, though. It's an allegation.
It's an allegation. Yes. But I think when he said if it's proven to be true, he needs to step down, I was thinking if it's proven to be true, he needs to go to jail. That was my thought. So I just had a spontaneous outburst. So excuse me, Brian, for that.
That's okay. We're going to turn it over to you now at 34 after the hour.
We're talking with Father Francesco Patton. He's a custodian of the Holy Land. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, and peace and all good to everybody.
Thank you so much. I understand it's the 800th anniversary of a Franciscan presence in the Holy Land.
Yes.
And because I'm a Southerner and we always like to celebrate and party, I'm wondering, how are y'all celebrating this over there?
We celebrated in Jerusalem for 3 days, but we are still celebrating during this year. Our Franciscan presence in the Holy Land is long presence, 800 years, and it is a clear Catholic presence, and at the same time a presence with great that pays great attention to all people living in the Holy Land, because Saint Francis, when he sent us to the Holy Land, said that it is important to be at service of every human person for the love of God.
So since you all are entrusted with care of the Holy Christian Shrines and all the people there, Catholic and non, how have you been able to maintain this? What kind of issues have you all overcome, I would say, in the last maybe 60 years? Because I know 800 years is a long time, but what have been the main issues that you all have had to deal with in caring for everybody?
In this moment, you know that we have many issues because we are custodians of the holy places of Christianity, and so one issue is to welcome all the pilgrims and at the same time to take care of the local living stones, the local Christian community. At the same time, I think that in these last years for us it was a big issue, the issue of helping the Christians living particularly in Syria, because we are also in Syria taking care of the local Catholic community. Yep. And so one problem is how to help the Christians to stay in the Middle East and to stay in the Holy Land.
But if it's an issue for Christians in the Middle, you know, to stay in the Holy Lands in the Middle East, I'm imagining you all in your habits are quite visibly Christian. How has it been, you know, in terms of safety for you and things like that?
The Christians, you know, we are a minority in the Holy Land. In the Holy Land, all the Christians, when we are all together, we are more or less 2%. And so it is very important for us to help the Christian to understand that it is a vocation and a mission to be Christians in the Holy Land. Because in the Holy Land, we can say in touch with the first community. The Holy Land is the place of the Incarnation, is the place of our salvation and redemption. And so the small Christian community in the Holy Land is like salt, like leaven, like light. And it is very important because usually Christians are very peaceful and open to all the other cultures and religions. And we are a kind of bridge in this way.
Well, Father, here's to 800 years that have come by, and here's to 800 more. Thank you so much for calling in to Morning Glory, Father Francesco Patton, custodian of the Holy Land.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. It's 22 before the hour, and Gloria is back with her musing, followed by some thoughts from Father Petrie. But first, a little sports and weather. Russell Wilson throws 2 touchdown passes to Jimmy Graham, and the Seattle Seahawks add to their history of success in Arizona with a 22-16 win over the Cardinals. Let's turn to your Friday forecast now with our producer, Elisa Murphy.
Morning Glory weather.
Cold temps across the Midwest as we head into this Veterans Day weekend in Grand Rapids. Partly cloudy skies with temps nearing 31 for those tuning in on Holy Family Radio this morning. And in Melbourne, Florida, for those joining us on Divine Mercy Radio, expect cloudy skies with a high of 77. And in Houston, 72 with sun. For those joining us on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
We're 21 minutes away from Holy Mass on most of these EWTN affiliates. And on Morning Glory, it's time for Morning Glory of Musings.
Well, if you live in the Manchester, New Hampshire area, please come on out and see me. I'm going to be there Saturday, November 18th. speaking at the Pro-Woman, Pro-Family, Pro-Life Conference. And you can find out more about it by visiting CatholicNH.org/public square. So I hope to see you there. But as we were talking with Ms. Hennessy about her grandmother, it reminded me of the time that I went to the Catholic Worker Movement House in D.C. They were inviting in some speakers who I guess had some issues with like nuclear missile heads and things like that. So we decided to go out and hear them talk. And I have to say that the whole point of it was this anger toward the government. I didn't hear one thing about Jesus. I didn't hear one thing about the dignity of the human person. I didn't hear anything that I was like would make it Catholic or even tie it back to Dorothy Day. And so I was so flabbergasted after their talk that when they asked for questions, I stood up and said, you all got it all wrong. You're not talking about prayer. You're not talking about the Eucharist. You're not talking about Jesus. And this is completely not what Dorothy Day would be doing. I was like, if you didn't understand it, everything she did when she was serving the poor, she spent just as much time, if not more, in prayer, you've missed the point. I said, you're in here talking about the government. You're in here bragging about how you've been arrested. And I was like, and shame on you, lady. You had a young child. Your primary role was to be a mother to your child, not to be some activist against the government. And now you deprived your child of like 6 years of being with you because you wanted to make some point devoid of God, devoid of the Eucharist, devoid of the faith. And I was like, and this is just not what Dorothy Day was about. Well, you can imagine. it was kind of like a downer, I think, for everybody after I said that. But we did have one lady who was living in the house. She said, wow, you know, you made such good points. And I think we have to always remember, if we are out there serving or doing and is absent Christ and is absent any acknowledgement of God, then we're really just serving ourselves, in my opinion. And we're floating astray, and it completely loses its point. Everything, in my opinion, as a believer, as a Catholic, we have to tie it back to the Lord. And absent that, I just think you empty out what you are doing. And that's how these movements, if they don't stay true to what the founder intended, can become just one activist movement among many. And that's why we don't call our things Catholic social services. It's why we're Catholic charity. Everything is tied back to the Lord. And we shouldn't lose sight of that, even if we get angry at some of the injustices we see. But if we don't tie everything and root it back to prayer and to Christ and the sacraments, then we're just one political group of many.
Well, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas, when I was referring to earlier when we were talking to Kate Hennessy about the thesis that I wrote, it was really on, obviously, St. Thomas Aquinas. You know, for St. Thomas, the virtue of justice, which is what everybody wants in these situations, is the virtue of giving to other what is their due, what mm-hmm. is their coming to what's coming to them. For St. Thomas, in order to have justice, you need another virtue, which is religion, the virtue of religion, which is for him giving to God, giving to the deity, giving to the Almighty what is due to them. So you can't have justice. You can't give to each other what is due unless you're giving to God what is his due. Mm-hmm. And for St. Thomas, the best act of religion, a unique act, is the act of sacrifice. Because anything I'm doing, I can make a sacrifice to God, you know. Mm-hmm. And so the more I sacrifice, the more I'm cultivating the virtue of religion, the more I'm cultivating justice. But Christians have it even better than that, or even more challenged than that, because we know who this God is. We know this God became one of us. And we know that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, God and man, offered a sacrifice himself to give to his Father what is due to his Father, mm-hmm. you know, and that we can participate in that sacrifice, what? Through the Eucharist, right? So Catholics have this very unique access to justice, which is to say we have a unique sacrifice that is a God-given sacrifice, that is God's own sacrifice through which we can participate, thereby growing in the virtue of religion truly and faithfully, and through that we become just. It's as you say, Gloria, it's when we separate the cultivation of justice from mm-hmm. religion and from sacrifice that it goes awry. So you can't be just unless you're religious, which is to say you need sacrifice, which is to say if you're a Catholic Christian, you need the Eucharist. You need to adore it. You need to receive it. You need to propagate it. And that's what I think Dorothy Day was doing much of her life.
And, you know, and the beautiful thing also about being Catholic is to receive worthily. So that's when we go to Jesus in the sacrament of reconciliation, acknowledge our sinfulness and ask for his help, ask forgiveness, and then we can approach him worthily. I do think receiving the Eucharist on a regular basis is an opportunity for us to have a regular examination of our sinfulness, of the things that separate us from God. And so as we go to approach Him to become one with Him, I think that's right.
And the confession is also not simply about, you know, it's mostly about our relationship with God, but also confession is also the way we interact with each other.
Amen.
You know.
All right. This is the end of the National Vocation Awareness Week, Father, and we have a guest to talk about that next.
We have Sister Joseph Andrew from the Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. She's going to be with us to talk about vocations and a little bit about their beautiful Christmas album next on Morning Glory.
Every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak.
More to Life is about living the Catholic difference in our marriages, our families, the way we approach life in general.
It's about celebrating life and our Catholic faith and discovering all the ways God wants to bless us and help us be a blessing to others.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak, weekdays 10 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Peggy Normandin. I was really pretty vain in my mid-20s. I was consumed with all those, you know, superficial trappings in life. Well, during this time, I had a dream where my grandmother appeared to me. She was a very loving, plain, modest woman of great faith. Well, in the dream, she was absolutely radiant. And she said, "This is what I look like now. Everything is perfect in heaven, Peggy. This is all that matters." What a powerful spiritual wake-up call that was. Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin. Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
As an EWTN media missionary, your task is to prayerfully take EWTN to your parish and community through the print and electronic media we provide. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com today and join us in sharing the eternal word with the world.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell, host of the Sunrise Morning Show.
This is John Martinoni, host of EWTN Open Line Monday.
Hi, this is Barbara McWiggin. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
We value your opinion. Email morningglory@ewtn.com.
On Catholic Chatter in a few minutes, Elisa Murphy will share some texts, tweets, and emails. That's coming up as Morning Glory continues on this Friday, the 10th of November. It's the Veterans Day holiday here in our nation's capital. We thank you for joining us today. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
And our godly counsel from the Dominican House of Studies is Father
Thomas Petrie.
I almost said Dominic.
Thomas Petrie.
And I'm the first Dominican you've had all week. It's so great. It's been
wonderful. Missing Father Legg.
We're grateful to have you, Father.
That's so great. We have on the phone another Dominican, my good friend for a long time, Sister Joseph Andrew. She is a Dominican Sister of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. Their mother house is in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Sister Joseph Andrew, it's wonderful to have you on Morning Glory.
Morning. It's wonderful to be here again. Good to hear your voice too, Father.
It's so great. I'm so glad that we're able to talk live with all these listeners and share our friendship over the air. You know, this is a National Vocations Week. We're closing it out. But, you know, one thing you and I always talk about, so I'm just going to ask you this quick question, but I know you're going to have a great answer. What is the secret to getting vocations? Your congregation has over 100 and what are we at, 25, 30 sisters at this
38.
Point?
138.
138, started with four in 20 years, 138 sisters. What is the secret? Mm-hmm.
You know, Father, that's a beautiful question. I often ask God. I would just say it is His grace and mercy, but I would also say young people today are wanting someone to see a hero within them and to call that forward and thereby to respond to their vocation. And if it is religious life, they are looking for a religious community that lives a very authentic life in regards to sacrifice and community prayer and community times together and the closeness of a religious family and all the graces that pour into a particular community by virtue of the charism that they have received from the church. And so as Dominicans and in our community, as Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, our charism certainly is 800 years old in the Dominican tradition and 20 years old with our daily Eucharistic adoration that young people are craving, just that silence and that prayer as well as everything else, you know, our Marian consecration, the fact that we're teaching, which is a very difficult apostolate in the world today. It really is a total gift of self-pouring, and thank God we have a strong community that are living the life the way that the church asks us to. So I think God is blessing the authenticity of religious life and sending more young women and young men such as to your community, Father, to Dominican province. My goodness, you're bursting at the seams as well.
Yeah, no, it's been just truly a blessing.
Well, sister, I have a little girl that's 6 years old, and she loves religious sisters. She loves the Blessed Mother. She loves to say prayers, and she's even chastised me and my husband that we didn't celebrate the Blessed Mother's birthday sufficiently. So I'm wondering, it was embarrassing, let me tell you. But what can I do as a mom to help prepare my child just in case she does have a vocation to become a religious sister? What kind of things would you advise parents to be doing to help cultivate that?
With what you have just said, I would say keep doing what you and your husband are doing. Number one, and I say this from my own experience, there's two girls in my family, and we're both religious Dominican sisters in our community. But I would definitely say, first of all, they have to see the love of parents for one another and the love of parents for God first. Mm-hmm. And so I think where you have a family that has God, number one, and the love of the parents for each other and the love of the family, those children are going to grow up in a holy security whereby they're not going to be afraid to honestly ask God the big questions and to also grow in self-knowledge, and between those two, he really does reveal the vocation. Mm-hmm. And then to love the vocations and to say, well, as my parents frequently did, you better do whatever God's plan is when he created you. I mean, I knew as a small child this was important, and I had to pray my way through it. Mm-hmm. And I saw that in my parents' fidelity, and as I said, their deep love of the church, for priests, for sisters, and for marriage, for one another. Mm-hmm. And so in that security, a child grows well. You know, that's really the best advice I could ever give is that depth of faith and of love found, first of all, in the family.
Sister, you know, we've been talking today a lot about Dorothy Day because we had her granddaughter on the show earlier this hour.
Wonderful.
It was absolutely wonderful. But one of the things that Dorothy Day is sort of commonly thought of is she sort of breaks the mold of plaster saints, you know. And I know a lot of young women who enter religious life, they tend to, for lack of a better word, I tend to think they look at even their sisters are going in as though you're all porcelain dolls, that everything is sort of perfect and wonderful. Now, without wanting to reveal anything that's confessional over here, but how do you deal with that when these young women come in who have a very sort of rosy, which you don't want to scandalize, but to give a much more realistic view of being who you are within the life?
You know, Father, I love that question because it really is, they have to meet sisters, a community that's very real. I always say, you know, when young women come around us, they see the laughter, they see the normalcy of these women who are giving their whole lives to God, and they're like, there is just so much joy, and you all are just so normal. And to me, that's about the biggest compliment. This particular weekend, we have a vocation discernment retreat. We have 179 girls registered, young women registered from ages 17 on to 30.
Let's just you say that number again. 179 young girls are coming to your discernment retreat this weekend.
They are.
Wow.
And they're bringing their sleeping bags so they can sleep on the floor in the school because that's the only room we can offer them since we're bursting at the seams. But it's all-night Eucharistic adoration, and the sisters love this, and so word spreads, and that's why we're now up to, I have to close it at 180, so it ended at 179. But the young woman who's come the furthest has come from Malaysia.
Wow.
Mm. So, I mean, these things, you know, are capable for for anyone who really genuinely tries to open self to God and to be real. You know, mm-hmm. We know our own weaknesses and failures and struggles, and we're still in the land of original sin, but we sure are striving, and we're not, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we're not afraid of the truth, and that's, of course, so Dominican. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, even the truth inside self that says, these are my strengths and these are my weaknesses, and together I'm going to give it all to God and trust that He will lift me up, and the day-to-day fidelity.
That's right.
Know? And then that brings that joy that's so attractive to a world that's just so doom and gloom, and it shouldn't be.
Sister Joseph Andrew, that's exactly right. Thank you so much for being with us. Sistersofmary.org, their new CD, Jesu, Joy of Man's Desire, and Christmas with the Dominican Sisters of Mary. It's the number one classical album on Billboard. We didn't get a chance to talk about that, but you can find it on Amazon and iTunes. Sistersofmary.org. Thank you, sister. Pray for
Thank
us.
Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Joy is so apparent in your voice, sister. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. It's 5 till. Father will take us through today's gospel, and we first, though, get some feedback on Catholic Chatter with Elisa Murphy.
Just quickly, we've heard from Veronica, who loved hearing sister's voice on the airwaves. And one quick question from Michael Webb. What about that new Twitter profile pic? Is that Don Corleone there, Father?
Oh, I tell you what, I'm just messing around with my new iPhone 10's portrait. Portrait lighting thing. Really
Very
impressive.
Funny. Yeah. So, Father, we don't talk about stewardship a lot anymore, but this is what the gospel is all about today.
Yeah, today is the gospel of Luke chapter 16. It's about a rich man who has a steward. The master is coming back to the property, and the steward is basically writing off various debts of the debtors. And when the master comes back, he actually commends the steward for doing this, which is really counterintuitive. Why would you commend your steward for giving away your money? But he says, this is what the children of this world does. It's what we should do, which is to say we should be merciful. We should forgive people their debts easily as children of light.
Well, we need more time with you, Father. So will you come back on Monday?
I will be here on Monday.
All and I right. promise not to call you Father Dominic, that even though you're a Dominican, Father Thomas Petriarch.
That's so great.
Just say AU in the white. He'll know he's the one you're talking to.
Have a good weekend, Glory. We'll see you Monday.
You, yes. And I hope to have a good weekend next time in Manchester, New Hampshire next weekend. So please look me up there.
Elisa, who's on Monday?
We are talking A Catholic Approach to Loneliness with Dr. Kevin Vost.
Stay with us for then, and we have our best of tomorrow morning. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Pray for our veterans, and we'll talk with you Monday.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift.